Okay, you are listening to It's a Sickness,
a podcast where two friends geek out over all things perplexing in medicine, science, and health.
I'm Lila.
And I'm Lila. And I'm Nicole. Fuck.
Okay, now I need a drink. Catch us on Twitter and Instagram. If you're not following us already, our handle is @itsasickness_. You can find all our resources, our visuals, our memes that we try to do and be funny with. It's all on there. Follow.
Yes. You can be notified when It's a Sickness releases a episode. So be sure to subscribe and adjust your notification settings so you won't miss out on any of these here sicknesses. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're everywhere. We get around.
Okay.
All right. So, perseverance, the continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failures, or oppositions. Today, we dive into the recent landing of the 2020 mission Perseverance rover on the Jezebel crater on Mars, where it's believed that we may find some evidence of ancient life.
So, yes.
If tomorrow they're like, okay, let's be more realistic. Like 10 years from now, we'd only be 37. So hitting 40 there. If they tell us, yes,
Jesus,
we can move to Mars. We can go and live in Mars now. Would you do it?
Abso-fucking-lutely. I'm out. I'm brand new.
But what is there to do in Mars?
I'm leaving everyone in the dust and never looking back.
I don't know about it. I don't know. But let's learn about what we do know and make a decision based on that, I guess.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
Let's get started. You get to go first today.
Oh, yay. Okay. I have some fun stuff, some good info on Mars. So let's just jump in. So Mars is the fourth planet from the sun and the second smallest planet in our solar system, the Milky Way, being just larger than Mercury. I was like, what about Pluto? But Pluto isn't a planet anymore.
I know.
I feel like it's still a planet.
I grew up thinking it was a planet. It's still a planet. And I'm going to tell my kids it's a planet. So.
Yeah. So.
Suck my ass.
Pluto's the smallest planet. So in English, Mars carries the name of the Roman god of war. Mars, his name was Mars.
Okay.
And it is often referred to as the red planet. The red planet refers to the effect of the iron oxide, aka rust, prevalent on Mars' surface, which gives it a reddish appearance, distinctive among the astronomical bodies visible to the naked eye. When you look up in the sky at the stars, you can tell which star is Mars because it literally looks red.
Yeah, it has like a different tint to it. And it's literally a rusty ass planet. Why would you want to live there?
We got rust here and dust and crust. It ain't that different, okay?
True, true.
The rust is rustier on the other side.
It's fucking stupid. Yeah, wouldn't the other side be that side over there?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. So Mars is a terrestrial planet, or a rocky planet, meaning that it actually has a surface with a thin atmosphere, unlike some of the other planets that are thought of to be mostly just gases. The surface features reminiscent of the impact craters of the moon and the valleys, deserts, and polar ice caps of the Earth. So the days on Mars and the seasons are pretty comparable to those of Earth because the rotational period as well as the tilt of the rotational axis relative to the ecliptic plane is super similar to that of Earth. So one day on Mars is 24 hours and 37 minutes. So almost exactly the same.
Okay.
But yeah, a year is almost twice as long as an Earth year, being 687 Earth days. So you thought 2020 was a long year? Mars is still in it.
Oh yeah, it technically is.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Or if they even.
I mean, I guess it would be at like half of the years that we're at. Because their years are twice as long. Math. Okay, so Mars is also the site of Olympus Mons, the largest volcano and highest known mountain on any planet in the solar system, and the Valles Marineris. Marinara.
Valles Marinara sauce.
The Valles Marinara
from Mars,
which is one of the largest canyons in the solar system. Okay, this is cool. So Mars has two moons, one called Phobos and the other called one called Phobos. I was going to say, and the other one called Ferb, like Phineas and Ferb.
She's going to say Phoebe or something.
So Phobos, which I wrote in my notes for some reason as Hobos, has a really short lifetime. In about 30 million to 50 million years, Phobos is going to crash into Mars' surface or rip apart because of the tidal force of the planet will prove too much to resist for the moon.
It's literally going to attract it so close to it to where
it's going to rip it apart. Yeah. Or crash into Mars. So that's something to look forward to the people living. Well, I guess we can't live there then.
So, yeah.
So Elon Musk, did you fucking think about that?
Let's leave Earth to go literally just die from our moon crashing into our planet.
Like, come on now. Okay, so because of all these similarities to Earth, it has been long thought of and researched as a possible site of extraterrestrial life. The current understanding of planetary habitability, which is the ability of a world to develop environmental conditions favorable to the emergence of life, favors planets that have liquid water on their surface. As we know, that's why Earth is popping.
Mm-hmm.
So most often this requires the orbit of a planet to lie within the habitable zone, which for the sun extends from just beyond Venus to about the semi-major axis of Mars. So only really about half of Mars is in a position where it could possibly sustain life.
Okay, this is like going really down the fucking drain.
It's going from worse to worser.
The fact that you knew all this information and you still said.
Yeah, well, I'm going to not be alive in 30 million years. Yeah, unless the Neuralink lets me download my consciousness into a digitalized version.
And it'll just be floating in the galaxy post being fucking gruff.
I'll just be floating in the rust at Mars.
Well,
all right. Yeah. All right.
Technically, so, you'd be in heaven.
Well, also, Mars is about half the size of Earth. So all the people on Earth right now ain't gonna fit.
Okay.
I'll just keep all of these things in mind as we carry on. Okay.
Still trying. Still gonna try.
Still trying. Okay, so during perihelion, which is the point in orbit of a planet where it's closest to the sun, Mars dips inside this region, the habitable region, but Mars' thin, low-pressure atmosphere prevents liquid water from existing over large regions for extended periods. So the confirmation that liquid water once flowed on Mars is seen through the existence of nutrients and the previous discovery of a past magnetic field that protected the planet from cosmic and solar radiation. So together, all of this strongly suggests that Mars could have had environmental factors to support life. Could have had. Mm-hmm. Recent evidence has suggested that any water on the Martian surface may have been too salty or acidic to support and maintain regular terrestrial life. So when people talk about life on Mars, we're not talking about right now. There is no evidence of current life on Mars. So we're talking about ancient life, or the thought of there ever been existing life, like billions of years ago. Okay, so there have been so many spacecraft and attempted Martian missions, but a few notable ones. The first, NASA's Vikings, landed in 1976. And in fact, NASA is the only agency that has managed to actually land on the surface of the planet so far. Go America, you won something.
Well,
yeah,
I have nothing to say. I still don't like being from here.
You want a cookie?
Way to go. If you just handle racism first, then
yeah, let's handle that. So some of its other missions included the Pathfinder Sojourner, which was the first Land Rover combination, which was in 1997. And then the Mars exploration rover Spirit and Opportunity in 2004. And then the Curiosity rover of 2012 was the most recent up until now. Okay. Then I found this article from Washington State University called Study Finds Organic Molecules Discovered by Curiosity Rover Consistent with Early Life on Mars. So this was written on March 5th of 2020. And this was a paper that was written based off of the findings from the Curiosity in 2012.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay, so there are these organic compounds called thiophenes that are found on Earth in coal, crude oil, and white truffles, those little mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thiophenes were also recently discovered on Mars. And Washington State University astrobiologist Dirk Scholes McCooch.
Miss McCooch.
His name is literally McCooch.
Oh, not Miss. Mr. That must have sucked to get like a test back. Mr. McCooch.
He's clearly like German. Dirk McCooch. Dirk the Dirk McCooch.
You're present. I don't want to be.
Okay. Astrobiologist McCooch. Thanks.
Great.
Thinks their presence would be consistent with the presence of early life on Mars. So him and this other guy named Jacob Hines with sub university in Berlin that I'm not going to try to pronounce, explore some of the possible pathways for thiophenes origins on the red planet. So their work suggests that a biological process most likely involving bacteria rather than a coal or truffle or something of that nature may have played a role in the organic compounds existent in the Martian soil, which I'll kind of explain in a second. So thiophene molecules have four carbon atoms and a sulfur atom arranged in a ring, and both carbon and sulfur, as we know, are bioessential elements, especially carbon. Mm-hmm. However, McCooch could not exclude non-biological processes leading to the existence of these compounds on Mars. So when you're talking about the existence of an organic compound outside of Earth that is usually on Earth produced as a result of a biological process, you basically have to consider whether the origin of this compound was abiotic or biotic. So a lot of the times when we find like, oh, scientists found blah, blah, blah on whatever planet, people are straight to jump to, oh, it's a sign of life. It's a sign of life. But there are other ways that compounds like that can end up on planets that have nothing to do with the creation of life. Mm-hmm. So an abiotic factor is basically referring to a non-living physical or chemical element in the ecosystem. So this could literally be like a meteor that crashed into it and it contained these compounds. It doesn't necessarily mean
like an outside factor.
An outside factor. Uh-huh. Exactly. whereas a biotic factor would be a living or once living organism in the ecosystem, which is what we're all hoping that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Evidence of life. Meteor impacts provide one possible abiotic explanation. As I just said, theophenes can also be created through thermochemical sulfate reduction, which is a process that involves a set of compounds being heated to 248 degrees Fahrenheit or more. So this is definitely possible on Mars as well. In the biological scenario, bacteria, which may have existed more than 3 billion years ago when Mars was warmer and wetter, could have facilitated a sulfate reduction process that results in these theophenes. So this is basically describing the way that we see it on Earth, these chemicals on Earth, is through bacteria working through this sulfate reduction process, and then the outcome is the thiophenes. So he's suggesting that this could have been the source of the theophenes on Mars that are seen there.
Okay.
There's no way to know.
We don't know, but there's theories then to suggest why we're finding it there.
Right. And so the whole point – okay, we'll get to it. While the Curiosity rover has provided many clues, it uses techniques that break larger molecules up into components, so scientists can only look at the resulting fragments. Further evidence should come from the next rover, the Rosalind Franklin, which is expected to launch in July 2020. Already happened. So the Perseverance is basically going to be picking up where the Curiosity left. And basically what they're going to be trying to do, they're supposed to have better tools and better processes of getting to the root of whether these organic compounds are abiotic or biotic.
Okay.
So the Perseverance is carrying the Mars Organic Molecule Analyzer, or MOMA, which uses a less destructive analyzing method that will allow for the collection of larger molecules. This reminded me when I read this story, in September of 2020, scientists also made a similar discovery, but it was on Venus and with a chemical called phosphine.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing. They found this organic compound that really shouldn't have been there because it's only produced through biological processes, and they found that on Venus. So more planets are popping up with more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just went over this, but yes, Perseverance was set, and I believe did land. I'm sure you'll talk about it, near an ancient mm-hmm. river delta that once flowed into this basin, the Jezero crater, which is now just a dry and dusty, crusty 28-mile wide crater that is believed to have been filled with liquid water billions of years ago. Perseverance Project scientist Ken Farley says that billions of years ago, it would have been an ideal place for microorganisms to have lived. And it's also a wonderful place for those microorganisms to be preserved so that we can find them now. So it sounds like it's just this huge basin that was probably like a huge lake. And they're expecting it to have just be like filled
mm-hmm.
with soil samples and evidence of microbial life. I'm thinking that their thought process is, if we're gonna find it anywhere, it would be here.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they chose it for that specific location for a reason.
Yeah, so that's what I got. That's my seg, and I'm gonna let you take it away with the rest
after this short break. Okay, we're back. So this Perseverance mission was cool. I think it's not – I didn't know much information about it, and I don't think I ever, like, researched too much into anything else that NASA has done ever, I think.
Yeah, not like this.
So this is exciting. So some quick facts about the mission – itself, it actually launched July 30th. So this is the one that you were talking about, but you called it something else.
Originally, they were naming it Rosalind Franklin, which was after this chemist.
Oh, yeah.
This woman chemist, yeah. But then they went with Perseverance. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, the Perseverance was launched last year. I actually remember it. Didn't watch it or anything, but I remember everyone making a big deal out of it. And then it actually recently landed on February 18th. So you mentioned, to give perspective, an Earth year is 687 Earth. Sorry, a Mars year is 687 Earth days. And it took a whole year for it to, or close to a whole year, a Mars year to get there. Hold on.
It took a Earth year.
It took an Earth year to get there.
Not quite, a little shorter.
Yeah.
Like, because it launched in July. Yeah, it launched in July and it landed in February.
Yeah, so just short of a year by a few months. Over the years, just 40% of all Mars surface missions have landed successfully. So literally flipping a coin gives you better chances of landing safely.
Oh, wow.
Which is insane, because now I get also why it was just such a big deal that they landed successfully. So that's kind of cool to know. The overview of the mission. So the Mars 2020 Perseverance rover, it was is a $2.7 billion mission. The rover itself is the size of a car. I don't know what exact car, but it's big, if that's the perspective it's giving us. And it's searching for, as you said, signs of ancient microbial life, which will advance NASA's quest to explore the past habituality of Mars. So what ancient life existed, if any, is what people want to know.
So they basically sent a car to another planet.
Basically. They sent a Tesla to Mars.
A Tesla?
Elon a Tesla. Musk. Elon Musk is in his Tesla on Mars right now. And the underground roads in Vegas that y'all thought was in Vegas is actually on Mars. And that's the end of my segment. Just kidding. So Mars is the closest place that we reach, or that we can reach with robotic exploration, to the extent that we've been able to have robotic exploration on Mars. So that's in addition to thinking that there's a good chance of having had ancient life. That's another reason the robotic exploration, the ability to do robotic exploration, is what turns people on about this idea of exploring Mars. Some science objectives, because that's why we're here. There are four. One is geology, to study the rocks and the landscape, as you mentioned, at its landing site, to reveal the region's history. Astrobiology, to determine whether an area of interest was suitable for life and look for signs of ancient life itself. Sample catching is to find and collect promising samples of Mars rock and soil that could be brought back to Earth in the future. And then another science objective is to prepare for humans by testing technologies and that would help sustain human presence on Mars someday. So the Perseverance rover carries some primary instruments that I'm going to go over. One of them is the MastCam Z. It's an advanced camera system with panoramic and stereoscopic imaging capability and the ability to zoom. So the instrument can also help scientists assess the mineralogy of the Martian surface and assist with rover operations. And then there's the Mars Environmental Dynamics Analyzer, or MEDA, a set of sensors to provide measurements of temperature, wind speed and direction, pressure, relative humidity, and dust size and shape. Real fucking dope technology here or instruments. Wow. And then there's the MOXIE, or Mars Oxygen ISRU experiment, an exploration technology investigation to produce oxygen from Martian atmospheric carbon dioxide. Lots of instruments. I'm not done yet.
Wait, so the MOXIE is basically
trying to, like,
they're attempting to see if they can create oxygen through some sort of reaction with Mars's own CO2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty, really cool instruments. And a lot of these is like first time instruments. So there's a lot to be excited about.
And then the MEDA is like the weather, like, station. Is it just analyzing the weather on Mars?
Yeah, like it has the sensors to provide the measurements of temperature, wind speed, direction. So kind of just
atmosphere.
Like analyzing the atmosphere there. Okay. Yeah.
Dope.
And yeah. And then the planetary instrument for X-ray lithochemistry, or PIXL, is an X-ray fluorescence spectrometer with high-resolution camera to determine the fine-scale elemental composition of Martian surface materials. So the PIXL will provide capabilities that permit more detailed detection and analysis of chemical elements than ever before. That's pretty cool, because it's basically just going to get more in-depth. It seems like a lot of their issues were, like, literally just, like, making a robotic ability to collect having samples.
The tools, like the actual, like, I feel like during the last one, the Curiosity, a lot of the like gadgets and like sampling stuff was a little more rough. Mm-hmm. And then maybe because they weren't sure if it was even going to make it over there. And then once that it did, they're like, okay, we can send some more high tech, like, technology over there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a building block to be able to bring all these instruments now along with it. The list continues. A radar imager for Mars subsurface experiment, or RIMFAX, RIMFAX, which is a ground penetrating radar to provide centimeter scale resolution of the geologic structure of the subsurface. Another way to basically analyze what's on the surface of Mars, and run experiments, that type of tool. Scanning habitable environments with Raman and luminescence for organics and chemicals, or Sherlock is what they're calling it. Sherlock. It's another spectrometer to provide fine scale imaging and use an ultraviolet UV laser to determine fine-scale mineralogy and detect organic compounds. So it's the first UV Raman spectrometer to fly to the surface of Mars and will provide complementary measurements with other instruments in the payload. The SuperCam is an instrument that can provide imaging, chemical composition analysis, and mineralogy. And it can detect the presence of organic compounds in rocks.
Do you know if they have a real-time, like, footage, like, streaming back?
Yes. So these instruments made it so that a lot of it, while NASA was covering all this, they talked about the EYES Experience program, where you could follow Perseverance on Mars through their website, eyes.nasa.gov. You click on the banner and you're with Perseverance through every step. So it's like an interactive experience they made available, which is fucking cool.
I just looked it up.
Yeah, if you click on the banner, you can. And then there was also a lot of, like, simulations that people were – there's a lot of video footage, but to see the actual footage from Perseverance itself, you can click on that link. Okay, or check out that site. Two things that I didn't cover was just, like, the drill that's on the rover itself, and it's just used to collect the core samples. Oh, and then the last thing that I did want to mention is that Perseverance is testing new technologies to help, as I said, pave the way for humans living there one day, human exploration on Mars. Strapped to the rover's belly for the journey to Mars was the helicopter, Mars helicopter, or what they're calling Ingenuity, which is testing the first powered flight on the way to the red planet for further aerial exploration in the near future. So basically what I'm understanding with Ingenuity is like, it's like a drone on Mars. It's like,
oh, okay. Yeah. So they have it just like parked there, or is it currently like flying around?
It flew with Perseverance. So it was attached to Perseverance on the way there. As of now, it's there. I don't know that they got it to work yet, but I know that it traveled with Perseverance. Okay. I will look that up though, because I think that would have been mentioned if they had some success with that,
mm-hmm.
because that seems like a mission in it of itself. Getting that to work successfully.
Up and running, yeah.
Yeah. What have they discovered thus far? So you mentioned, I'm only brushing over Curiosity. Curiosity was monumental because it was assessing habitability of ancient Mars and investigating the planet's long ago transition from relatively warm and wet to extremely cold and dry since 2012. So it's been there since 2012. From my research, I understood that it's still up there. And a lot of the questions that I found was like, if they're going to be like working together or something, and they're not. The Curiosity is at the Gale crater, which is like 2,300 miles away from Jezero crater. But they did discover nutrients and energy sources that microbes could have used, and established that Mars indeed did have regions that could have been friendly to life in the ancient past. So what we said earlier, it was definitely a building block.
So it is still on Mars, on a different crater. Okay, so I'm wondering how they are analyzing data that it's gotten already.
So I'm going to cover really quick the landing site selection, why they chose it, and then this is where I think I'm going to get into that. So at the fourth landing site workshop on October 2018, the science community voted to select Jezero Crater as the landing site for Mars 2020's mission. At Jezero Crater, Perseverance's mission is to explore if Jezero was habitable, seeks signs of past life, and fill a returnable catch with the most compelling samples. Take the first steps towards in situ resource utilization on Mars and demonstrate technology needed for the future human and robotic exploration on Mars. The rover's mission had detailed science criteria for evaluating potential landing sites through the various landing site selection workshops, and they basically considered specific engineering constraints, possible enhanced entry, descent and landing capabilities. They just considered everything that could go wrong and chose ultimately this site because more than 3.5 billion years ago, I think you said this, Jezero hosted a lake. And to not repeat exactly what you said, I guess the main highlight of that is the river delta that they found in that crater.
Yeah, so it's like supposed to be, they're thinking that it'll just have like marshland deposits, which being how deep it is, the river like canal or whatever that's running into it, they're thinking that's where all the good stuff is going to be, like the downstream.
Yeah, so what's telling about it is the inflow and outflow channels that you can see, and we'll post a photo of this because it's circulating and it's out there. There's like an inflow and outflow channel that are very distinctive and suggest that it was filled with water. And the clay that one of the orbiters spotted, it's like clay minerals that they found, or that it's spotted in the Jezero crater. It's similar to the Mississippi River Delta clay that's found there. So that's what they're excited about too. And that's ultimately why they chose to go with the Jezero crater. Now, that was my question too. Like, why aren't we running the samples? But basically, what Perseverance is doing right now is getting those samples, but the earliest that they're estimating they'll actually have those samples back to Earth is on a mission that they're going to do later, and possibly by 2031. So,
okay.
Because of science, I'm sure there's a reasoning to it. But yeah, it's not that simple to find it. Bringing it back is like another mission on its own.
Well, if they have all these spectrometers built into the rovers, they could probably do quite a bit of like sample analyzing just through the machinery on the rover.
Yeah, I there must be something to where, because I don't know, my head is like, why can't you just do it all there and then just send it back? But there must be something in that process where, I don't know, like they haven't, maybe it's like a hazard or.
I'm thinking they probably need, you know, human hands to be on it to guide it through different like preps.
The cool thing about Perseverance is that it seems, from my understanding, to be like there was significant parts of it where mission control wasn't even controlling it. Like, they got it to where coding was so good that there's a lot of firsts for this mission that I didn't know how big of a deal it was. But I mean, that alone, as I said in the beginning, the fact that 40% successfully land, like that's very telling of
it's very telling of where we're at as far as shipping things to other planets successfully.
Now we just got to figure out how to bring it back.
Yeah
so
I think these rovers are so cute, like watching them like rove around.
Yeah, these rovers are pretty cute.
They look kind of like robot dogs to me, and I feel like they're just like, gotta do a job.
They're like, just there to work.
They're working.
Yeah. Remember those videos I've shown you of like robots acting out?
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
What if the rover's like, fuck it, I like it here better. I'm not going back to Earth.
I feel it.
Shit, I get it. I get it too. I guess this was like in a lot of ways a lot more interactive than any other mission that NASA has conducted, because there was just a lot more ways that you could be interactive, seeing what's going on at the same time. I think that I'm ready for just going into discussion about all this stuff that we learned.
Wild. Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay, so that was the 411 on Mission Perseverance.
Quick little update. So
the main, I think, takeaway too was that this mission really is focused on, obviously, the sample return phase. We want to get whatever we find out here back to planet Earth, and we can draw some conclusions, but it was also really turning the rover into a robotic geologist and astrobiologist. We heard about all the instruments, all the first time instruments that Perseverance rover took with it, and that's kind of like the highlight of this mission, I think. It sounds like.
So do you think that there was ever life on Mars?
I think it'd be dumb to think that there weren't.
I agree.
Yeah. Like, I just really feel like I don't know that I want to know further information, because I'm trying to get to living on Mars, as much as I talk about wanting to leave this planet. The realities of it happening is probably slim to none, but in I more lifetime, so want to know. None. Yeah, I more so just want to. My thing is, like, if we do find out, like, I want to find out what happened. Like, is that what's going to happen to Earth eventually? Like, can we learn?
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely what's going to happen to Earth. That's yeah, where we're right? headed for sure. Yeah, I think hopefully they can find some sort of evidence that points in that direction. That's this is going to be the life cycle of planets that are this distance from the sun. I think that if Mars was a little bit bigger or more the size of Earth, maybe it would have lasted a little bit longer as far as like a sustainable life planet. But also the things that are happening with our planet now, as far as like global warming and climate change, I think those are early signs of
that
perhaps this happening. Yeah. It becoming a fucking little iron rock.
That's a plausible, I feel like, theory. And yeah, hopefully we'll learn more about what that could mean.
I also have us. This. Yeah. I also have this theory that when we think about life, we always think about carbon-based life because that's what we know and have here on Earth. Mm-hmm. Carbon being the building block of all life. But I always am like, why can we not look for other types of life forms that are not carbon based?
Yeah. I don't know if the term ethnocentric applies only to like culture context, but in a way, like, are we looking at this only in our way because that's all we understand and know? And we could be looking at the wrong. Yeah. Like, when you're talking about other planets,
our definition of life is so limiting.
Yeah. I had a conversation about this mission and just extraterrestrial life and shit with a friend recently. And he was saying, like, I think it's dumb for us to even think of like an alien, like how we think of an alien.
Right.
Like they probably don't even travel in spaceships. They probably, you know, like it could literally be anything, something that would be new to us. So,
yeah. It could be something that we would never even be able to recognize as being something, you know?
So, yeah. So the mission, NASA persevered, landed on Mars, and now we might in 10 years or so find out if there was life on Mars. I wanted to say something motivational, but I'm really fucking drained. I wanted to say something about persevering.
To persevere through the rest of this fucking night and finish your shit.
Yeah.
I'm about to persevere my ass to sleep.
All right.
I'm about to persevere all the way to the bed, get horizontal. Bye.
That's all, folks.
That's all.
Stay persevering with us and tune in next week for the next doses of fucking sickness. And that's on that.
That's
on period. All right. See you next week.
Bye.